most days, not every day, and honestly, more so in the winter than in the summer because of the absence of daylight, but most days, I am awakened by the alarm clock on my phone. My phone, this little computer, sits on my bedside table beside my bed. It is plugged in somewhat curiously to the wall of my bedroom, and somewhat curiously is empowered through that connection. And at just the right time, it makes a noise to awaken me. Usually my first move in the morning, especially during the summertime when the windows are open and the bedroom door is open, with the exception of last night, my first move is to grab my phone and navigate toward the Big Ass Fan app. I press a button on my phone. It finds the ceiling fan that hangs above my bed, and I turn the fan off because it's about 55 degrees in my bedroom at that point in time. I am told that the phone and the fan speak in a secret code made up of zeros and ones. A code that is only understood by the fan, the phone, and those who are graduates of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology or Caltech. I have no earthly idea how it works, but it works, and I depend upon that. After I turn the fan off, I get a little quiet time. Just a little time to myself while Cindy, my wife, slumbers to my left. And it's an opportunity for me to recenter, to reintegrate, to come to full consciousness with a clear mind and an open heart so that I might engage the tasks of the day. After that period of quiet, I get up. I quietly walk into the bathroom that is attached to our bedroom. I close the door, and I turn the handle on a shower faucet. As I await somewhat miraculously for the water, the groundwater, which in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, is 42 degrees, as I await 42-degree water to turn into 102-degree water, I go to my bathroom cabinet. I open up the medicine cabinet. I reach for a jar of pills of levothyroxine. You see, when I was in my late 20s, right before I was ordained a priest, my thyroid went crazy. When my thyroid went crazy, I went to a physician in Austin, Texas, who handed me a pill. He handed me a pill in a lead case and said, "When we leave the office, I want you to open this case and take this pill." I ingested some radioactive iodine that killed my crazy thyroid, and every morning since that day, I take a pill that replaces the hormone that my thyroid gland produced naturally until it no longer did. I have no idea how it works, but I assure you that I have enough thyroid in my system for my metabolism to bring enough energy in my body to animate my life in the world, to do my work and be a dad and occasionally catch a trout or two. I then get into the shower that magically or somewhat miraculously within the shower valve itself has a component that makes sure that that water never gets too hot for me. I take a shower, I get dressed, I go downstairs. Most of my family is still asleep except for the wagging tail of the dog. I go to a large box in my kitchen. I open the left door. I reach into this box, which curiously keeps the temperature below 30 degrees. In that particular part of the box, I get blueberries that are frozen. I put those on the kitchen island. I close the left-hand side. I open the right-hand side, reach into a box that curiously keeps the temperature to about 45 degrees. I have no idea how it works. I get the yogurt and I get the oat milk. I then reach into the underneath cabinet where I pull out a blender, a bullet blender, and I pour some strawberries in there and a banana, and if I'm lucky, a peach and a little yogurt and some kind of magic potion that Cindy buys that comes in the mail week in and week out. I then take this contraption called a blender and I plug it into the island, and somehow, beyond my understanding, I push a button that engages a motor that turns blades which chop up and mix up the blueberries, banana, if I'm lucky, a peach, and the magic potion in the oat milk into a smoothie that I then ingest. While I am doing all of this, some mornings I shout out to a cylinder sitting on my kitchen counter, "Hey, Alexa, play Steve Earle." And all of a sudden, in a way that I absolutely cannot explain, in a way that I do not understand, the harmonies and melodies of the Texas troubadour Steve Earle fill my kitchen and soften my heart. You can go hear Steve Earle tomorrow night at the Center for the Arts. After I finish the smoothie, I tell this cylinder, "Alexa, stop the music." I grab my briefcase. I put my laptop in the briefcase. I walk to the garage. I push a button on the wall of my garage, and a wall of my garage magnificently and miraculously opens up to reveal the morning glory of Jackson, Wyoming. I have no idea how it works except for the things that I can observe. There's some rollers and some chains and some lights, but I have no idea how it is engineered. I then get into my truck. I turn the ignition, and I am told that somehow this fuel, this refined organic substance, enters a particular assembly of components that provides energy to my truck. I then back that truck out of the driveway and I drive it about 335 yards from my driveway to the church parking lot. I park my truck in the church parking lot. I walk across the sidewalk that you've walked today to St. John's House, this beautiful log building that's been here since 1911. I reach into my pocket and I take out this curious instrument, this piece of metal, and I insert this piece of metal into another metal component attached to the threshold of my office. I am told that inside that piece of metal, there are things called tumblers, but I know nothing of tumblers. I just put the key in and I turn it to the right and I am able to open the door to our offices. I ascend the stairs in our office. I put down my briefcase. I take out my laptop, this stainless steel appliance, and I open that laptop on the table where I spend a lot of time during my workday. I open it so that while I'm downstairs, my calendar and my email box populate somehow miraculously through the thin air. Off the top of the table, I grab a mug, a Yeti tumbler. I walk down the stairs. I hit the button on the back of a machine. I reach into a cabinet and I grab a little plastic cup, a little plastic cup which is filled with the ground beans that come from South America. I place this plastic cup into a machine. I close the lever. I push a button, and somehow miraculously, in a way that I have no idea how it works, in a miraculous way, warm water flows across the ground beans into my Yeti tumbler, a curious metal cup that in this cold environment somehow keeps my coffee hot almost all day long. I grab that cup. I walk back up the stairs. I fill my water bottle. I sit down in my chair, and I begin to review the appointments on my calendar and the correspondence that has come into my email box over the course of the last 12 or 18 hours. Somewhat miraculously, you are able to sit at your appliance in your own home, and you are able to communicate to me in English through zeros and ones that flow through the air miraculously about ideas that you have, or needs that you want to express, or a care or concern that you have. I read those concerns, and sometimes I reply back to them in English on an appliance that has letters that I put together that turns those letters into zeros and ones, sends them back through the air to your appliance where you read them in English. I have no idea how that works. After a couple of hours, I get up from my chair. I walk out of my office. I turn right into the bathroom because water and coffee has done its thing. And I step up to an appliance that honestly, I know a lot about. Many of you know in this room that I have an adult child named Jas who is autistic and developmentally disabled. And I can tell you there was a period of time in Jas's life, maybe like 5 to 7, where Jas never met a toilet where he didn't want to drop a little person or a helicopter or a ball or a toy truck into and flush to watch it go spinning down. I used to go to the hardware store and buy 5 wax seals at a time because I knew in another day or two, I would be unscrewing the toilet from the floor, taking it out into the backyard in order to get a hose to flush out a jet airplane replica that had been stuck in the trap of a porcelain toilet. I know toilets. What I don't understand is how this mechanism itself carries waste from my body to some place that can store and transform waste somewhat miraculously so that we might all be around it and still be healthy. It is an incredibly curious experience. I return to my chair. I sit down. I feel my feet at this point in the morning. I feel my feet firmly planted on the ground. It's time for a recentering, right? I can feel my sit bones on the bottom of my chair, and I draw in 3 deep breaths. I don't exactly know how it works. I am told that when my diaphragm contracts, that I bring in atmosphere through my mouth and my throat. That atmosphere then enters an organ that we call lungs. And somehow that spongy tissue of the organ itself grabs oxygen cells, plucks the oxygen cells out of the atmosphere and attaches those oxygen cells to blood cells in my blood. My blood, which is being circulated by a pump that we call a heart, that we can feel and know is there, but in 54 years, thanks be to God, I've never seen. I don't quite understand exactly how it works. That is about the first 3 hours of most days in my life. Most days in my life, I am animated by, supported by, propelled forward by things that I have no understanding of, that I have no sense of how things function or how they don't function. There is no will that I engage in order to make them work. They just happen all around me. And I am the glorious and miraculous beneficiary of these things that lie so far out of my understanding. And yet, are at the center of my everyday life. I have this piece of paper. This curious piece of paper that a church, a denomination, and an academic institution awarded me on a particular day, on the 20th day of May in 1999. I can tell you that this particular document that I have in my hand has hung in the perfect place for the last 18 years. It hangs directly over the toilet in our primary bathroom so that I see it every day. This piece of paper declares definitively that I, James Perkins Bartz, am a master in divinity. Let me assure you of one thing. I am no master in divinity. I am simply a servant in divinity. And I am the most gracious and grateful and determined recipient of things that come from the divine every day, almost every second of the day, that I have absolutely no understanding of whatsoever. These stories that we have this morning from the scriptures are some of the most wonderful and confounding stories in all the pages of scripture. They speak to this thing that the story itself as a whole and these particular interludes call bread from heaven. What is this bread from heaven? In the first story that we have, and it's a comedic story, we should hear it comedically. Literally, bread comes down from heaven and covers the face of the earth. But remember the setting itself. This is Israel in the desert, displaced, but displaced only a few days ago from hundreds of years of captivity, enslaved by Egypt. These Israelites have experienced a number of phenomenal and miraculous events that have led toward their liberation from slavery, from generations of slavery, including witnessing the parting of a sea that gives them passage into the wilderness that comes back together to drown and destroy the army that is pursuing them. And 3 days later, Israel is like, yeah, hey, God, thanks so much for the plagues. Thanks so much for the parting of the sea. Thanks so much for delivering us out of the hands of our captors and liberating us from the bondage of slavery. But what I could really use is a sandwich. And boom, the sandwich is there. And then comes the quail. I can tell you that the bread from heaven surrounds us. And sometimes our intellect and our curiosity can get the best of us, right? You come to someone like me, a master in divinity, a servant in divinity, and say like, okay, Jimmy, if that's true, tell me how it works. And not purposefully to unsatisfy you, but to tell you the truth, I can look back at you and say, I have no idea how it works. I just know that it does. And some people in my shoes try to over-explain it and then accidentally end up complicating it by saying like, well, no, you just like you take a knee and you ask for it and it happens. But every single one of us sitting in this church this morning has taken a knee, probably in one of the lowest points in our lives, and we've asked for something that hasn't appeared. So it doesn't work like that either. It's not quid pro quo. It's not transactional. It's relational. And if any of you in this room are or have been married, you know that relationships are challenging, right? They just are. If there is one thing that I could leave you with on a morning like this morning, with the stories that we have, in the time on the timeline and where we sit, I would tell you that bread from heaven is everywhere. It is all around you. I have no idea how it arrives, how long it stays, how we get it from one person to the other. But I know that it's here. And if it's here for me, and definitively, it is here for me. Look at my life, my kids, my wife, my work, my church, you, this community in which we live and call home. I can tell you, church, if there is bread from heaven for me, there is most certainly bread from heaven for you. Amen.